This is Michael Bohm, and you're listening to the Youth Apologetics Training Podcast. Welcome, friends. What you're about to hear is a collection of older, shorter podcasts that have been condensed into one larger podcast. Back when I first started this ministry, I recorded all these old podcasts on a BlackBerry phone. Okay, nowadays we're, as you can tell, have much better audio. I'm using a professional microphone. But back then, I was using a BlackBerry phone, and I recorded very short podcasts. And then, these 5 to 15-minute podcasts, I would put them up online. But now, I'm going back through, with the help of one of my listeners, Seth. Thank you, Seth. He is going back through and taking these older podcasts, these long series, and condensing them into longer 45-minute to an hour podcasts. So some things to look out for, obviously. Bad audio, at least during the beginning, when I was using this BlackBerry phone. You're also going to notice a difference in audio quality from time to time as I jump from one 5 to 15-minute podcast to the next one. And that brings up another thing. Sometimes there are slightly awkward topic or subject matter jumps. And that is simply because the end of one podcast has hit and then the next one was spliced on. I apologize about that, but it is what it is. So with that, let's go ahead and jump into today's podcast.
Hello and welcome. This is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to talk about religious pluralism. What in the world is religious pluralism? One website puts it this way. They say it simply means accepting and respecting all forms of worship are divine. Looking at the Spiritual Research Center, they put it a little differently, but it's the same idea. They say there are many paths to God as there are people. And they have this picture of a mountain climber climbing up a mountain. And it says under it, when undertaking spiritual practice, it is important to bear in mind that each individual is different. And so what works for one person may not work for another. When climbing a mountain, each climber thinks his way is the only way. But when he reaches the top of the mountain, he realizes that there were an infinite number of ways that could have taken him to the top. Likewise, there is many paths to God as there are people. Unification Church says it a little bit differently, but yet again, it's about the same idea. They say in one spot on their website, it says, this section gathers passages from various scriptures which affirm that others who do not share the faith of that scripture are also following the way of truth. Okay, so this section on their website has all of these different quote-unquote holy scriptures from different religions that supposedly prove that that faith has that kind of grain of truth, that nugget of truth that all faiths lead or all paths lead to the same God, right? We're all just climbing up a mountain and we're all going to make it to the same peak, right? Okay, so moving on. They say, thus Hinduism, Jainism, and Buddhism understand the various deities to be expressions of a single absolute reality, and the various paths lead to one supreme goal. Judaism has the doctrine of the Noahic laws, God's revelation to all humankind through which non-Jews can be righteous before God. Okay, I really didn't want to interject here, but I can't help myself. That is exclusive, friends. If you don't follow all of the laws as prescribed in the Old Testament and believe in the God that is prescribed in the Old Testament as a Jew, well, you can't be of that fold. I'm sorry, but that's exclusive. But anyway, I didn't mean to do this. I'm sorry. Keep going. Oh, it gets worse. Okay. The Christian Bible contains passages affirming that God had intimated himself in the religion of the Greeks. Okay. Sikhism affirms the common spiritual origin of Islam and Hinduism. The Islamic scriptures affirm that Jews and Christians are people of the book, who share the same God as the God of Muhammad. And it also says that, never mind, I'm going to stop. Okay, furthermore, many religions teach that a non-believer, if he does righteousness, is acceptable before God and will receive a reward. And then they go on and they give all these different, you know, scriptures from different faiths. I went ahead and took special notice of the two that they give from the Bible. I think they're worth mentioning. It's kind of funny. They take them both completely out of context, and they really are trying hard to push their point. And so here you go. One of them is John chapter 10, verse 16. "And I, Jesus, have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock and one shepherd." All right. Totally out of context. And that is not at all what Jesus is saying. He's not saying that everybody in the planet is of his fold. He's saying there are other people outside of the house of the Jews, basically. Basically not of the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? And that would be us. That would be the Gentiles who place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and repent of our sins. And it becomes very apparent in the rest of the Bible that that's exactly what he's talking about. Anyway, then they go ahead and use a scripture out of the book of Acts. And then they go ahead and they give the scripture about Paul when he was speaking in Athens at the Areopagus. And he points out this shrine to an unknown God. And to be honest, for the life of me, I cannot figure out what the point is. I read through it and I'm like, how in the world does that promote the all paths lead to God thing? I just don't get it. I mean, there's a little blurb at the end, "for we are indeed his offspring." I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure where they're going with that one. But then they go and they bust out this one. And I can totally see where they're going with this one. Again, it's totally out of context. It's Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. It's Peter talking to Cornelius, and he says, "Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, and anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." So, yeah, sure, okay, that kind of does sound like, you know, that might be a slam dunk, except for, well, first of all, when they do what is right, it's actually they work righteousness, okay, so it reads, "Anyone who fears him and does righteousness is accepted by him." Now, okay, I just want to point that out for one, okay, because there's a couple things there in that sentence that are already exclusive. Secondly, if you read a little farther down in that chapter, Acts 10:43, it also says, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Wait a minute. So now you have to believe in Jesus too? Yeah. And friends, they just totally take the whole Bible out of context. Whenever they bust out a scripture, they like to take one scripture, isolate it, and then come up with an idea. So really the point of this podcast was just to give you a feel for this whole religious pluralism thing first. And then we'll talk about why it's wrong. So, again, it is the whole idea that all paths lead to God. So, no faith, no religion is any better than any other religion. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or a Mormon or a Muni, you're all going to make it to the same God. And by the way, as an aside, I kept bringing up the word exclusive because that's a really big deal to them. If you, as a Christian or a Muslim or a Mormon or a Muni or whatever, say that your faith is the only way, then you are being exclusive. And to them, that's a naughty word. If you're being exclusive, then you're basically an intolerant bigot. That's right. All you Christians are intolerant bigots. And we all know that nowadays you don't want to be called intolerant. So we all just need to get along and tolerate everybody, right? Some of you are far ahead of me and know where I'm going to go with this. So let me ask you this, friends. Is it possible that all paths can lead to the same God? Can all paths lead to the same God? Let's look at some of the faiths that we find around the world. Let's look at things like, and this is just going to be really briefly, but let's look at things like their doctrine, their practices, and how they worship their God. And just keep that question in mind. Is it possible that all of these faiths just lead to the same God? All these faiths are just a bunch of blind men walking around trying to feel an elephant? Let's look at it. Judaism, I mentioned that yesterday. The Jews, the foundation of Christianity, basically, where we come from until Jesus came. The whole idea of following all of the Jewish law, the Torah, all the laws that are prescribed in the Old Testament, all of the ceremonial laws. I think there's, don't quote me on this, but I think there's something like 613 different laws prescribed in the Old Testament. And following all these laws and believing in Yahweh is going to be your path to salvation. But now compare that to something like the Jehovah's Witnesses, who also have their own set of laws. Some of them are in common with what you find in Judaism, some of them not. But the whole idea that only 144,000 people go to heaven, and if you're not a Jehovah's Witness, you are toast. And I mean literally, you're toast. You're toasted oats. What happens to you when you die? God burns you to a crisp. He annihilates you. You're toast. And, well, there's a little bit of an exclusive nature to that, don't you think? What about Islam? Let's talk about some things that are a little more on the edge here. We're talking about a God who encourages killing of innocent people. We're talking about a God who encourages you to put to death anybody who is an infidel, especially somebody who was once a Muslim and then rejects their faith. Now, that's one version of God. Now, can this religious pluralistic God accept somebody who practices their religion in that way and also practices their religion in, well, perhaps the way of a Mormon who believes that there are actually many gods? For the most part, they try to be a good person. They try to be a loving person. But they have completely different views about who God is. They believe that all paths, or I should say, all religions are of the devil, except for Mormonism. What about the Druids and their sacrificing children? I believe it was the Druids who would cut open infants and dip eggs in their blood. Does that sound like, I mean, can there be a God that would accept all these different forms of worship? I'm just asking, guys. What about Molech, that giant statue that people would take their infants and they would heat the statue up until it was red hot, and its belly was a furnace, and then they would place that infant. This is so disgusting. They would place their infant on the sizzling hot hands of Molech, and that child would sizzle to death while they read a list, almost like a Christmas list, to their pagan Molech god, and their child is dying in its arms. Okay, again, is there a universal religious pluralistic God who would accept these practices as well as the practices of, say, a Christian who is also exclusive in their faith, saying that Jesus is the only way into heaven. He is the gate. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Is it possible? All these different faiths, the Mayans, who would take these people, these prisoners of war, and they would take them to the top of their temple, Chichen Itza. I've been up there twice. And they would take this person, they would put them on an altar, they would cut their heart out right in front of them. I mean, the person would be alive and well, not even drugged up, cut their heart out, rip it out of their chest cavity, and show it to the person as they're breathing their last breath. Can there be a God that would accept that as well as any other faith? And if not, okay, I think we're stuck at a little bit of a problem here. We have an issue, because if you define God in that way, some kind of wishy-washy, I'm not sure if I really believe in brotherly love, or I don't even know what I believe in, but I just love all you people that I made, even if you do kill each other in horrendous, disgusting ways, and do all kinds of evil against each other, walking into crowded restaurants and blowing yourself up, along with innocent women and children that are not even involved in the fight. If you have a God like that, well, you have now defined a God. Now that is a defined God. And it's almost like you've created a whole new religion there. And what kind of God is that? I wouldn't want to worship a God that accepted all these different practices as okay. All right. Well, then, do we exclude some of these practices? Do we exclude the practices of, let's say, a Satanist who sneaks down into or sneaks off into the woods somewhere with a group of black-robed people, and they have a kidnapped child, and they do what they do? And friends, don't even think for a second that doesn't happen. There's been thousands of cases documented across the U.S. alone. So, okay. And so if we exclude some of these practices, well, now we fall into the other trap of religious pluralism, the whole idea that if you're exclusive, then you're intolerant. And we don't want to be intolerant, because, boy, if we're intolerant, well, number one, Oprah Winfrey's not going to like us, and that's just a bummer right there. But... more on intolerance tomorrow. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. So let's just move on from there. But if we exclude some of these, then we're being intolerant. And that's exactly what they don't want to do. So what exactly are we worshiping here? Are we to believe that basically all of our different forms of worship, these divine forms of worship, as we mentioned yesterday, Is this all just leading to some kind of imaginary God? I mean, seriously. Because if all forms of worship are obviously, as you've already seen, and I could go on and on and on, all these different forms of worship, all these different practices, doctrines, and beliefs are absolutely contradictory. There's no way you could fit them all in the same box. So if we conclude that there is some kind of being out there that accepts them, then he's wishy-washy and not worth any kind of a worship. And the only other alternative is that they're basically putting forth that we are buying into just kind of like a big group of self-help, well, almost like a prescription self-help faith, where you just kind of show up and pick a flavor of ice cream you like, you pick which religion you like the best, and boy, that one's going to help me out. And if you ever get to a point in your life where, well, this one's just not cutting it for me anymore, I would rather believe that someday I'm going to become a god, well, then you just kind of change gears and believe that, and why, you know, I suppose it really doesn't matter. I know I'm kind of rambling on here. I can't control myself when I talk about this stuff, but are we to believe that all the faiths are the same? And if that's the case, is there really a God at all? All right, so the moral of the story is, don't get pulled into this religious pluralism movement. It has a political or politically correct feel to it. And, well, I'm going to make a t-shirt of this. I'm telling you guys, I'm going to make a t-shirt of this. The whole point of political correctness is to not offend anybody. And let me tell you something. Political correctness offends me. I'm offended. And you should be too. And once again, I've gone down another rabbit trail. Anybody who is exclusive in their beliefs are called intolerant. We're called bigots. And so I told you I would talk about that. And I would also talk about some ways that you can talk to people and help them think this issue through. I'm not promising any slam dunks here. In apologetics, there's never magic bullets. There's never slam dunks. It really comes down to the Holy Spirit doing the work. And we're commanded by God to be ready to give a defense for the faith. So we're not guaranteed success every time, but we are commanded to do this. And friends, when you honor that and you defend the faith as God has commanded us to do, crazy awesome things will happen in your life, and you will see lives change. But I'm just saying, there is no magic bullets. It's not a guaranteed success. Nonetheless, I'm rambling again. Here we go. So, all right. So, when somebody calls you intolerant, what do they mean? Well, I actually looked up a couple different definitions of intolerance, or rather, tolerance. I wanted to know what tolerance meant before we talk about intolerance, because I think intolerance is just basically the negative of that word. Anyway, tolerance, as defined by the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it says sympathy or indulgence, remember that word or indulgence for beliefs or practices differing from or conflicting with one's own. Another definition they give is the act of allowing something. All right? That doesn't sound too hard. What about dictionary.com? They define tolerance this way. They say, a fair, objective, and permissive attitude toward those whose opinions, practices, race, religion, nationality, etc. Here's the key word right here. Here's the linchpin here. Differ from one's own, freedom from bigotry. Okay, so a fair, objective, and permissive attitude towards those whose opinions, practices, race, religion, nationality, etc. differ from one's own. Huh. So friends, let me ask you, are Christians intolerant. I mean, we are fair. We are objective. We're permissive. That's right. We are definitely permissive. We all live in this land of the free, at least us Americans, towards other religions. So how are we being intolerant? I think what happens here is there's a little bit of equivocation that takes place when people accuse you of being intolerant. Because what they're really saying, they're not saying this definition. They're saying that because you disagree with somebody's particular religion or practice, suddenly you're being intolerant. Well, that's not what the definition includes. It doesn't say disagree. And by the way, they disagree with us. You think about that? If their definition of intolerance is simply disagreeing with somebody's practice or belief or religion, then why are they being intolerant of us? And so, kabam, that is the question that you want to ask. Those are the questions. You want to lead them that to that conclusion. So let's put this together. How do you apply this? Somebody calls you intolerant, or somebody says Christianity is intolerant, or whatever. Your first question out of the gates should be, what do you mean by intolerance? What do you mean by intolerance? And what that's going to do is flush out their definition. They're going to have to define it. And you know what? Say it nicely, guys. Don't have a standoffish attitude or any kind of a cocky attitude about you when you ask these questions. Be winsome, be kind, be gentle. And don't get all bent out of shape. I know it's kind of hard to do, but come on. Most of us were not saved at one point or another. And I say that a little tongue in cheek. We all, at one point or another, were not saved. And we need to show these people mercy, grace, and just love in this subject. Okay, so anyway, blah, 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 blah. Be nice. All right? Don't get all bent out of shape about it. Just ask them questions. So what do you mean by intolerant? And they're going to have to define it. No matter how they define it, they're trapped, because the way they're using it in the sense that because you disagree with position, practice, belief, religion, whatever, that means you're intolerant. And then so now here comes question number two. Write it down. Is it wrong to disagree with somebody's belief, practice, whatever that particular subject matter you're talking about is? Is it wrong to disagree? And of course, they may recognize their folly at that point. Chances are they probably won't. And at that point, they're going to say yes. Once they say yes, then you ask them the million-dollar question. And again, no cockiness here, friends. This is the million-dollar question. Then why are you being intolerant of my position? You see? The very thing that they're accusing you of, they are committing themselves. See how this works? All right, so let's look at religious pluralism one more time here. When you're speaking to somebody about religious pluralism, they're going to say something to the effect of all faiths lead to the same God, or all paths lead to the same God, or something like that, somewhere in that realm. And you're going to ask them, have you studied world religions? Or something, you know, a question along those lines. Have you studied world religions? Do you understand the differences that these views have? Chances are, I've gotten an equal mixture. Some people say yes, some people say no. If they say yes, that's okay. Just keep probing, keep questioning. Remember what we talked about yesterday. Bring up these examples. Well, what about the Mayans cutting people's hearts out? Does this God accept that as an acceptable offering or sacrifice of worship? What about throwing an innocent infant onto the sizzling hot arms of Molech and watching it sizzle to death while you read your list of wishes that you would like to receive from your god Molech over the next year? Is that acceptable to this god? Pretty quickly, this person, if you're dealing with a normal human being, they're going to realize that at the very least, some practices have to be excluded. But now, if they recognize that, you need to point that out, because at this point, their whole all-inclusive religious pluralistic faith that they have has just been knocked pretty severely. Chances are they're gonna retreat to another position and bring up something along the lines of, well, this God is believes in love, brotherly love, and goodness to all mankind. And at that point, you need to ask them, you know, how do you know? How do you know this? And they're going to give you a lot of touchy-feely, wishy-washy stuff, but they've basically defined a new faith. They've defined a new God. By the way, that's idolatry. But they've defined a new God, and they are now in the position of being exclusive to some faiths. That kind of shatters the whole idea of religious pluralism. All faiths don't lead to God. There is a such thing as an exclusive God. No matter what, the God that created this earth is exclusive. This doesn't lead them straight to the throne of grace on their knees pleading for mercy and grace from our Lord Jesus, but it gets them a little closer down the road. And you just have to love on these people. You have to be logical with them. You have to explain why you believe what you believe. But now you've shattered at least the notion of what they believe, because a lot of these issues they've never thought through. And with your questions like, have you studied world religions? Are you aware of the things that these different faiths in the world are doing? People that worship Molech and the Mayans and the Satanists. And, you know, what about Islam? What about the command in the Quran to kill the infidels? What about those commands? What about those teachings? What about those gods? Is this same God you're talking about that same God? And how can he accept all these beliefs? See where they go and basically push them towards the idea of, wait a minute, it's okay to be exclusive. And, oh, by the way, in order to tolerate somebody, you first have to disagree. Your belief systems have to differ. That's okay. And it's good that they finally understand, oh, wait, I do differ from you. Oh, I do differ from these other faiths. That's okay. That's okay. And now you can, as they're kind of reeling from that, you can start bringing them to reasons why you believe what you believe. All right. Just another arrow in your quiver. This is Michael Bohm, Youth Apologetics Training. Come out to the website and say hi. By the way, there's some stuff on the website now, some exclusive teachings that can only be found on the website. If you'd like to come out, youthapologetictraining.com. I just can't get all the stuff I'm publishing out on sermon audio, so I'm putting some of it just on the website alone. Anyway, love you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.